As we look at this sermon this morning in Mark chapter 8, have you ever heard the saying that practice makes perfect? This is the idea that if you do something over and over again, you will eventually become good at it. But as I've spent years playing sports and watching my children, my daughters especially, do music, I've learned this isn't entirely true. I have played a whole lot of golf, and I have worked on my golf swing, and I practiced it over and over and over and over again, and it's not any better. It still doesn't work. I still can't hit the ball where I want to hit it. And I've been told that the reason for that is because it's not practice that makes perfect. I had a musician friend one time said, perfect practice makes perfect. And no matter how many times I practice a bad golf swing, I'm not going to get better at golf. But repetition is an important thing, and it's a wonderful and it's an effective teacher. Doing something or hearing something over and over again does help us to learn. Why? Well, because sometimes on the first or second or third or fourth instruction, we finally get it. And for some of you that are more like me, on the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 25th time you hear something, it finally sinks in and you finally get it. The events here we're going to look at today in Mark chapter 8, they're remarkably similar to what we see in Mark chapter 6 and in Mark chapter 7. We see these similar events recorded in a kind of same order. We're going to see in both these passages, if you read through Mark, a feeding of a great multitude of people. We're going to see a boat trip, a confrontation with the Pharisees, a conversation about bread, a miraculous healing, a confession that happens. And so we see these repeated events, and remembering and recalling what we've seen God do in the past can help us know what God will do in the present and what God will do in the future. But unfortunately, sometimes we are forgetful people, and sometimes we just have hard hearts. In spite of seeing the Lord work in our past, we wonder if God can still do something in our present. Sometimes we just don't get it. And that's what we see in this passage. Jesus has shown so much to prove who he was, and he is asked in this passage to say for a sign so that some will believe. Even though that he had just done very similar things in the not too distant past. Today, as we look at this passage, I'm going to ask us to consider the good news of the gospel and encourage us to not look for a sign that proves who Jesus is to us, but I'm going to ask us this morning as we look at this passage to truly just look to Jesus. See, too many times people are looking for some sign. If God just does something, then I'll know he's real and he'll prove himself to me. And the truth is, we just need to look to him. And so let's read this passage here together this morning in Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 21. In those days, when there was again a large crowd and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, I feel compassion for people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance. And his disciples answered, where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? And he was asking them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks and broke them, and started giving them to his disciples to serve them, and they served them to the people. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, he ordered these to be served as well. And they ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. About 4,000 were there, and he sent them away. And immediately he entered the boat with his disciples and came to the district of Dalmatia. And the Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. Leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side. And they had forgotten to take bread, and did not have more than 1 loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves, the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up? They said to him, 12. And when I broke the 7 of the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, 7. And he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? So here in this passage here, we look at some have denied that the feeding of the 5,000 and feeding of the 4,000 were two events. Some see this as one event and that Mark was somehow confused in his tradition. But there are two events here, and they're very distinct and they're very different. And there's some very important differences in these two events. One, we see the feeding of 5,000 and the feeding of 4,000. In one of these events, you have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the other one, you have 7 loaves and a few small fish. In the first event, you have Jesus praying once. In the second event, he prays twice. The first one is mostly Jews who are there. In the second event, it's mostly Gentiles. Jesus, in the passage we read today, clearly says that there were two feedings here as he brings them both up. And so why would Jesus repeat the miracle? Why would he do this 2 times and not just once? What's the significance of this? And 2 things stand out to me. The verse says here, and we started this, it says that Jesus says, I had compassion on them. This means that his heart went out to them, that he had sympathy coupled with a desire to help. He was moved for the need, and he decided to do something about it. In the most basic sense, why did Jesus do this miracle twice? Because there were people that were hungry and needed to be fed. There are people that were with him. Notice Jesus' compassion on them. I find it interesting that it says that they had been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. This crowd that was there, they weren't there seeking a meal. They were there to spend time with Jesus. Their heart was to be with Jesus. Oftentimes throughout the Gospels, we see that crowds gather so they can see Jesus do something. That they're gathered together because they want to see some miracle, some show that Jesus is going to do. But this crowd here, they were there just to be with Jesus. Just to be with him. And so, too often we find ourselves maybe in that same boat that we're looking for Jesus to do something for us. That if Jesus will just do something, if we can see Jesus accomplish something, when Jesus just wants us to be with him. And sometimes you miss out by not just being with Jesus. And at the same time, he was trying to build faith in his disciples. Do you find it that interesting? The disciples were wondering what to do in this situation when they had just been through this in the not too distant past. They saw Jesus feed 5,000, and Jesus, he calls his disciples together and he explains the problem to them. And although they've been through this, they asked the question, where in this desolate place are we going to find enough bread to feed all these people? Having forgotten that they're standing in the presence of the person who can handle anything, who's in that desolate place. They, of all people, should have heard Jesus' words and remembered what he did and been excited about what was going to happen. And disciples show us that it is really possible to be with Jesus and listen to Jesus and see Jesus do things and then still wonder what Jesus is going to do. It's possible to be with Jesus and still forget at the same time. But even in this, Jesus invites his disciples to be a part of the solution. Not only a great teaching point for the disciples here, but a great lesson and application for us. See, Jesus is the worker of miracles. Jesus can do all things, and he didn't need the disciples at all. He didn't need their help. He didn't need to include them, but Jesus chose to use them and chose to work through him. And so as the disciples are asking this question, where can we get enough bread to feed all these people? I can just imagine Jesus patiently asking them, all right, how many loaves do you have? 7. Okay, then this is what we're going to do. Have the people sit down, and then I can probably see the disciples starting to click. Hey, wait a minute. We just did this, right? How much do you have? This is what we have. Okay, have the people sit down, and we see the same event kind of happening here again. Jesus finds out what's available, and he's 7 small loaves, and he seats the crowd. He blesses the bread, gives it to his disciples to distribute. He takes some fish, and he blesses it, and he gives it to his disciples and asks them to pass that out as well. So what is Jesus doing? Well, one, he's providing for the crowd. That's what he's doing, providing food. He's taught the people to thank God for their provision of food and to trust them to give God to give them what they need. But he's doing something else here, too. He's providing for his disciples. He's reminding them that as he cares for people, and as he does this great miracle, he puts the bread in their hands. He puts the fish in their hands, and he says, I want you to pass this out. He is using them as he does this miracle. Jesus included these men in his work. The miracles of Jesus is inviting people to participate with him. And an offer that he gives to us as well. See, there's a crowd that needs to be fed. The disciples had to be involved in the feeding. That's true today. There are people all around us who need ministered to. There are people all around us that have needs. And Jesus can meet all of those needs. And Jesus says he will meet people's needs. But Jesus invites us to participate in doing that. Not because he needs us. Not because he's hoping that we do something. So if we do it, man, if the disciples can just get me some bread, then I can multiply it. If they can just find some fish someplace, I just need one. If they can just get me one, I'm going to be good here. And he doesn't need any of that, but he chooses to use people. And real ministry is about people. And real ministry is about caring for people. And Jesus invites us to do that. And at the end of this, Mark gives a simple summation of the events. He does this often. All people ate and were satisfied. And he gathers the leftovers and filled the seven large baskets. And that'll become important again later. And it says in his passage, the number that were fed were 4,000. And Jesus could now send them on their way. He could send them back home. They've had their stomachs filled. Just another normal day in the life of Jesus. He meets some people. He cares about some people. His compassion on people. He meets some needs. He provides a teaching moment for his disciples. However, as he does this, there are some that still don't get it. There are some that are always looking for some sign. They're looking for some way. There are some that no matter what they see Jesus do, are always looking for a way to have the vision that they will never believe. In verse 10, we see this, where it says, and immediately he entered the boat with his disciples and came to the district of Dalmatia. And the Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking from his sign from heaven to test him. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. Leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side. And they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of bread. And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. So Jesus enters the boat with his disciples and he moves away, and Mark abruptly brings in these Pharisees, this conflict that comes up. These Pharisees who go out of their way to have an argument with Jesus. You know some people that are argumentative that will go out of their way to argue no matter what it is about. Well, these Pharisees go out of their way for this argument. In spite of the feeding of the 5,000, in spite of the feeding of the 4,000, in spite of all the miracles that they had seen Jesus do to give evidence to who he was the Messiah, the Christ, they come testing him, seeking for a sign. Here Jesus is doing all these miracles, and the Pharisee says, if you can just give a sign from heaven to authenticate your works, if you could just give us some sign to prove who you are, we'll believe. And as we look at this, we understand it's one thing to put the Lord to the test in faith. It's one thing when we're truly seeking God and we're saying, God, if you're really there, can you do this? Can you show me? Finding some way. It's another thing to put God to the test in unbelief. It's one thing to seek something as you wrestle with your faith. It's something else if you try to seek to prove that God is not who he says he is and that Jesus is not who he is. It was never about a sign here. It was never about a sign. The Pharisees could care less about a sign. They had chosen to reject Jesus no matter what they saw. Jesus could have done any miracle at that point right here. He could have given any sign he wanted to give, and they would still have rejected the truth. See, as close as they were to Jesus in proximity, they were never further away where it really mattered in their hearts. They were never further away. And it won't be long after this that they will come to the point where they will crucify him. Unbelief is an evil thing. It's a terrible thing. When it comes to the gospel, when it comes to God's Son, unbelief, turning away, it's a horrible thing. God has given us the most important sign of all. Of all the signs that he could ever give us, God gave us the most important sign when he sent Jesus Christ to walk on this earth. when he preached God's kingdom and demonstrated the truth of his words through all that he did, the miracles that he did, especially the greatest miracle of all, when Jesus rose from the grave. We're just a few weeks from Easter, and we're going to celebrate the greatest miracle to ever happen, the resurrection of a Savior. The ultimate proof of who Jesus is, his identity and his mission. And we don't need to ask God for some sign. We have the sign. He's already given it to us. Jesus in the world, death, burial, and resurrection. We need no other sign. We have Jesus. And although you have some here that we see that choose to reject, that choose to not believe, there are some that still struggle in this faith thing and are trying to figure things out. Some see, but they still fail to understand. And the disciples, as we see them, they're a little different from the Pharisees. They're still seeking, but they're struggling to understand. They get back in the boat with Jesus, and their quick departure, they forget to pack some of the leftovers to take with them. They only had one loaf of bread between them all, and you've been to some places to eat where they offer bread before the meal, like Texas Roadhouse and those nice warm rolls, right? And one of those little things isn't going to go very far before you start fighting over the bread. And as they're looking at this bread between them, trying to figure this out, Jesus is teaching them, and he says, be careful, Jesus warns. He says, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. And the disciples are confused. They have no idea what he's talking about. It must have something to do with the fact they forgot to pack some extra bread, right? I mean, they had all those baskets left over, and somebody forgot to bring it. And they begin discussing this predicament with themselves. Bartholomew, you were supposed to bring the bread. Bartholomew, but mine, no, that was Peter. Peter was supposed to bring the bread. Peter says, look, I'm in charge of a lot of stuff. The bread's not one of those things. It must have been Thaddeus. It must have been somebody else. And so they're having this conversation over who's supposed to bring the bread, blaming each other for the oversight. And Jesus has a little bit of enough. And he says in verse 17, and Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do not see, and having ears, do not hear, and do not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, 12. When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, 7. And he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? And so Jesus, hearing this discussion, this argument breaking out over bread, he begins to ask some questions. Why are you even talking about bread? What does that even matter? Do you not yet understand? Do you have hardened hearts? Why is it that you have eyes and don't see and have ears and not hear? He's saying, look, it's never about the bread. It was never about the bread. My miracles are not about the miracles. The miracles are never about the stuff. It is about who I am. Jesus is at work all around us, and the questions are the same. Do we understand? This is not about what we get. It's about who he is. And he continues to ask him. He says, do you remember? Do you remember when I fed the 5,000 and what you picked up? Do you remember when I fed the 4,000? Do you not yet understand? And as I look at these questions that Jesus asked, sometimes you can read things like this, and maybe you look and you see Jesus angry. You know, do you not get it yet? How can you be with me and not understand it? I don't read it here with Jesus being angry. I hear it, read it here with Jesus giving some instruction. I read it here maybe with Jesus with a little more patience with these men. He's trying to get to understand. The key word here is remember. And Jesus says, do you remember? Do you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many pieces did you pick up? And the disciples say, 12. Do you remember the 7 loaves and the 4,000? How many did you pick up? And 7. And he says to them, do you not still understand? Do you not understand that I am the Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you not understand that what I've done in the past, I will and continue to do in the future? Do you need some sign? Do you not understand that you're in this boat and you have 1 loaf of bread? Do you not understand that I'm going to meet your needs? Do you not understand that I am there for you? Do you not understand that I've already given you more than any sign you will ever need? I'm giving you me. We have a relationship with Jesus. He gave us his death and his burial and his resurrection so that we can have eternal life. This morning, let me just ask you a question. Is your primary concern in this life Jesus? Do you want to be with him so much that everything else pales in comparison, even your own needs? Do you believe that Jesus does and will have compassion on you? Do you believe that he will provide for you as you chase after him? Do you desire to join him in some real ministry? Do you desire this morning to seek Jesus and to be with Jesus? I think if we're going to be really honest about the modern Christianity, if we're going to be honest this morning, we have some views of this. First, I don't think that people really want to be with Jesus. I don't think that most modern Christians really have this desire to be with Jesus. I think that they want things from Jesus. They'd rather have things from Jesus than be with Jesus. And those things are two vastly different things. Will Jesus provide for you? Yeah, he will. But he doesn't want you to come to him for stuff. He doesn't want to be our fairy godmother or our genie. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to be with him. And secondly, I don't think a lot of people really believe that God will provide perfectly as they pursue him. That if we just pursue a relationship with him, that we can trust that God is going to carry things out. So instead, we live our lives trying to control things and making sure that we can provide for ourselves. God, I'm going to keep you over here. And God, I'm going to work and I'm going to make sure I take care of everything I need. And if there's something I can't take care of, God, then maybe I might ask you to help out. I might help you intervene a little bit, but I have this control because, God, I don't really trust your control. I trust my control. And I know that for men especially, this is a difficult thing for us. We want to be in control. We like to be in control. We need to take the message of this passage to heart. To heart. Do we trust in him? Remember who Jesus is. Remember what he has done. As we look at this, let's not just look at the feeding of the 4,000 and say, man, what a great miracle. What a great miracle. And then ignore everything else. Let's not be like the Pharisees and looking for a sign when we have Jesus. Let's not be like the Pharisees and living our life and saying, man, if God will just show us, I will believe the whole time when God's saying, look, I'm right here. I've sent you my son. Let's not be like the disciples who see Jesus and maybe forget that it's not just about the bread. Men, women, children, God is inviting us to pursue him. And as we do, he is right there with us. He is right there with us. We don't need all the answers. We don't need to know where the bread is going to come from. All we need is him. We need Jesus. Will you commit to that? And whatever God is saying to you, will you commit to pursuing him? That might mean for the first time in your life that you come and say, God, I don't have a relationship with you. I need to know what it means to come and have that relationship so I can walk with you. Maybe in our lives we have some other things going on and we struggle with this idea of who's in control, and God's saying, pursue me. Pursue me. The most important thing we can do is walk in a relationship with Jesus and trust that if we do, he will take care of everything else. That crowd that came that day, they weren't looking for a miracle. They were just wanting to be with Jesus. And as they were with Jesus, he did so much more than they can ever imagine. Church, if we walk with Jesus, he will do so much more than we can ever imagine. Listen to the voice of Jesus, respond to him, and pursue him with all of your heart.
Christ might be, in eternal ages let his praises The promises of God.